You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special Thanksgiving episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are joined by, I forgot to double check this, you are the two-time Pelton Cast MVP, right?
That's damn right.
Overrated.
Oh, no. Two-time rating, the two-time and only, the famous Cousin Katie is back by popular demand.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
We asked Jan. We heard we heard that people out there were wanting Jan to be on another Pelton Cast to follow up her honestly now legendary appearance where she talked about eating at every single restaurant, fast food restaurant along the Las Vegas Strip, stopping in for an individual chicken strip at some of them.
Only restaurants that she could have gone to in Seattle.
In 100-degree heat. But Jan got stung by bees today.
Wasps.
So she couldn't join us on the podcast.
It was quite traumatic for her, clearly. So
this is actually like really sad because she got stung in the face, right? So it's like a very traumatic experience.
I saw her after. Literally, you would have no idea that she was stung by a bee.
Okay.
She did seem to think that the sting on her face was much worse than it was, which is good. She wasn't actually in bad condition, but it was still
she got stung experience. In the face. She was like, I can't podcast.
I wish I got stung in the face before we podcast.
How does one get stung by wasps right now? Are they out?
I have a lot of questions about it, but obviously she's not making it up. She clearly did get stung by wasps.
I'm just wondering what activities she was engaged in.
She was it was just around her back door of her house, so I don't know why these wasps are still alive in November, but they are. But that's not what we're here to discuss.
I'm gonna pour one out for
on the heels.
Wait, I just want people to know if they want to go back and listen to Jan's podcast, because it's really really good. It's episode number 164.
We'll link that in the show notes, of course.
You recently listened, Katie.
I did, because you guys talked about it a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, I need to hear this. Because you mentioned that she liked to tell the guy at the buffet that she had to take her crab legs and put them in an omelet. And she said they have to do it.
She cracks them herself, though.
That's so unsanitary. It doesn't matter that she cracks them herself. That makes it so bad.
They have to do it. She didn't mention that on the podcast.
No, I re-listened because I wanted to see if it was on the podcast, but she didn't mention that. That was a new nugget that we are all so thankful to her.
On the heels of another must listen timeless classic with Nate Duncan ranking the top five Thanksgiving foods back in 2017. We've re-aired that every year before Thanksgiving since then, but this year it's a new Thanksgiving special because the listener, the third Pelton brother, at Big Paper Daddy on Twitter, now going as last week's Tristan from several weeks ago. I don't even remember which week's Tristan this
All
was.
Of them. Mm-hmm.
We've had Thanksgiving food rankings, but how about Thanksgiving strategies? How do you arrange your plate? Quantities, foods, touching, etc. How much room do you save for dessert? How much / what do you drink? Do you eat earlier at a normal dinner time? One table or buffet? And Tristan's reply, I hear you loud and clear. Let's remember some Thanksgivings. Okay, so let's start by answering this question. And I guess we can just talk through or typical Thanksgiving experience, which historically usually we have gone, obviously it's 2020 is going to be very different for everyone for Thanksgiving. But traditionally we have gone on over to our aunt and uncle's house for Thanksgiving.
I knew you were going to mispronounce one of those words. It was uncle this time.
I am a newcomer to the aunt and uncle's house.
You're just an occasional participant every few years, right?
Most Thanksgivings with my mom or my mom's side of the family, and then, or we used to do them all with my mom's side, and then we switched over to alternating one every year with you people, and then one kind of at my house.
You're on an Apple Cup schedule, right?
Yes, that's right. Which I think we're on the right schedule, so that we're in Seattle when the Huskies play here, and we're in Tri-Cities when the Huskies play in Pullman. So we could theoretically go to an Apple Cup.
You have chosen not to do so.
You've chosen not to make
that. Fortunately for this year, all are canceled.
Oh, boy.
Really, we think we should have done it.
We're going to talk more about that on our regular weekly pod, which will be out tomorrow after the Sounders match. So stay tuned for that. But let's start with one table or buffet. So when we've done it there in the past, the food is all on a main table. We are at a second kids table.
Always and forever.
With our, yes. Even now that there is multiple generation of kids.
Even now that we are close to 40 years old. We are at the kids table.
Perpetually at the kids table and happy about it.
Yes, very happy. I was thinking about how we do, if we talked about Thanksgiving fights, I think we've actually not had that many because we've separated out the children from the adults. And so I think that's a piece of advice to all you listeners out there for future Thanksgivings, not this one, but future Thanksgiving. You're going to want to sit yourself at a kids table and just not to talk to anyone over the age of, well, I don't want to say 40 now, but
over your age plus a couple.
Yeah. You're going to want to have the generations completely separated from each other. And I feel like we have no Thanksgiving fights ever, right? Like I literally cannot think of it.
I have something that I think Al might have to cut out of this, but I have something.
Ready for it.
Okay, so it's the sink water potatoes episode? Or is it the dirty dishwater potatoes?
Huh?
Let's see how uncomfortable Al is by this. Is he uncomfortable? No?
He doesn't even remember. This is like
Yes. I didn't notice it. It was not as noticeable to me.
Well, can someone describe it for the people? Because I don't think I was there. I think I've just heard about it.
You weren't there.
But it like a very clear memory to me, even from just hearing.
This is the dark side of Jan saying whatever she thinks.
Oh God, it's so dark. When I went back and listened to that podcast, she said that the Shake Shack was like disgusting and inedible. It was just like such an over.
She needed to regress her opinion to
the. Yeah, it couldn't have been that bad. Come on,
candy Shake Shack shake.
No,
let me see if I can find it. I wrote it down.
No.
She said the Shack Attack candy was horrifically terrible, but she ate almost the entire thing.
Her money was not about to be wasted. I talked to her about the pandemic. This is now reminiscing on Jan, where she's like, I was like, you have to quarantine before Thanksgiving, Jan, which she's having, of course, the hardest part of time of this of anybody. And she's like, well, I can still use my birthday gift card to the Red Robin, and I can still use my birthday gift card to Tillman Furtado's Claim Jumper, but I won't be able to use my birthday gift card to Ivers. And I'm like, Jan, how much do you fucking get from your birthday gift card to Ivers? $8? $10? I'm like, I'll give you $10. I will buy you Ivers when we're done quarantining. Why are you concerned with this? But she can't help herself. Like, if there is free money available, she needs to spend that free money.
Oh, it's a very Carasino trait. I'll bring it up when we talk about the wine and the drinking section later, but just for now, it's a very, very Carasino thing to do.
Okay, so we've kids table.
We've never had a political fight, though. Not one that I can remember. You remember one too?
No, you don't have fights.
You just get upset about things.
No, you might get cornered.
Yeah.
And then you have a little discussion. Usually it's my husband who gets cornered. And then we all hear about it afterwards. But we don't fight. I mean, the thing is, even though we don't fight at the Carasino Christmases, they're much more
Contentious?
Contentious, yes. Then the Thanksgivings that I grew up with, where it was a much more a Puritan vibe. And so
you grew up with when you were a kid? Because I feel like when you're a kid, like our parents' generation all has this idea of like, even if you disagree about politics or whatever, these things, and you're just like, we're going to get together to do this.
Yeah.
But at some point, that just ended, right? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like maybe like the year 2000 or something like that was just like our generation, we're different generations, but as a millennial.
I'm a millennial.
This is like when George declared himself a different generation than Jerry on Seinfeld.
You two are Gen Xers, of course.
You made a really good Seinfeld reference on the Jan Pod.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's how you know he's a Gen Xer. Anyway, I feel like we just can't stomach like not talking about things, or if you overhear something that's ridiculous or racist or whatever, you have to bring it up.
Yeah.
It's definitely a generational difference.
But
at my Thanksgiving growing up, we would not bring it up.
I don't remember I guess I'm saying that hasn't happened after. I think we've all just kind of we've ignored the elephant in the room. And
I really do think at our Thanksgivings, having us sit at the kids' table has prevented most of that problem.
It is uniquely timed to have political fights Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Because it is right after any election, right? Midterms, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're all sitting at a big table. It's like really the only holiday that everybody in your family is sitting at a table with each other. And it is coming directly on the heels of the most important political moments that are happening in the country.
So at the kids' table, we have our own rules. I think we have our own gravy typically, but we have to go to the adult table to go get all of the rest of the food.
Mm-hmm.
I would say my strategy, I treat it like a buffet where you're going to want to get a little of everything at the start. Find out what's particularly good that year and then choose that to go back for strategically for seconds. That's my position.
Katie?
I mean, I have a long essay written on this, so you might want to go first.
Katie is the most prepared anybody has ever been for a Pelton cast.
She did say earlier she needed time to think about the question when we told her that we were going to record today instead of tomorrow.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat, but, you know, you want to hone in on the important parts of the Thanksgiving meal. Over time, I've become more comfortable with a cranberry sauce. But, you know, I'm not a sweet potatoes person necessarily. Sweet potato pie person, yes. Sweet potatoes themselves. I mean, I'm going to get some now. When I was a kid, I wouldn't have, but now I will.
I mean, especially like the candied yams. Oh, outstanding.
I hone in on you get a roll, turkey, some white meat, some dark meat. I'm huge, huge into the dark meat. Of turkey, potatoes,
glad you nothing, specified there.
And then you just pour gravy on all of it, on everything.
But also make a sandwich with the roll.
Then I will take it back, take all the ingredients back, open up the roll, and do turkey first, potatoes next, maybe some stuffing. TBD on stuffing, it's not an essential part of the sandwich.
Oh, God.
You think stuffing is essential?
Yes, this is the only time you're allowed to put stuffing on a sandwich, and therefore you must do it.
What are the other situations you're having stuffing?
None. So this is why, if you have the chance to do it, you have to do it. The stuffing is only around once a year.
Okay.
That's like an opportunity cost type thing.
It's just, it's a lot of bread in one particular bite, right? That's very carby.
Well, you know, I like a higher bread to meat ratio than most people.
And then
you're eating your sandwiches in your car.
You layer it all down with gravy. You want it to be a little bit messy. Like still, you can still grab it, but like you want it to be messy and then some gravy at the bottom of the plate to be able to just dip the sandwich in. Our family, being white people, of course, we don't really do mac and cheese at Thanksgiving, which is a goddamn shame.
I was thinking about this earlier. And it was like, You know from my Beecher's Airport sneak that I will eat macaroni and cheese literally any time of day. It is always delicious. I don't know why we don't do it at Thanksgiving.
Oh, we have the whitest Thanksgivings ever. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, we have a specifically Italian Thanksgiving because the fact that salad is salad a crucial is a component of the main course. Yeah. With salami in it.
See, we wouldn't have that type of salad at the first Thanksgivings that I went to.
That makes sense. Like you were there.
Not the first Thanksgiving. Just like, I mean, with my family. That we wouldn't have that type of salad. That's a uniquely Carasino Thanksgiving.
I think it's a general Italian thing, especially to eat it after the main course or with the main course rather than as a first course.
Yes.
I mean, I severely regret. I don't know if I've ever been to a Thanksgiving where there was mac and cheese as part of it. And I severely regret that, right? I've been through this life for way too many years not having mac and cheese as part of Thanksgiving. Sweet potato pie. It was like, I probably had the first sweet potato pie when I was over 30 years old. And it's a goddamn shame that that's the case, that we grew up this way. I'll be honest, Thanksgiving dinner was always good, but like, you know, it was never that good, right? Once we discovered that you could put it together as a sandwich, that was really important. But I feel like we didn't really, it just wasn't the complete package that it could have been.
I mean, you hosted Thanksgiving last year. You could have made some, I guess maybe you couldn't have made macaroni and cheese.
Now I have allergy-free Thanksgiving, so I can't have fucking dairy. You kidding me? I would do things way different if I could. At least we have sweet potato pie. Katie, your essay.
All right. Okay. So I'm talking more about your priorities here. So I kind of listed things in terms of the order of importance, right? So the first thing you want to do.
Can you show us the notes? I want to see the notes.
Did you handwrite the notes? Oh, no. My God.
It's just a tablet with
a lot of words.
A lot of words. So the first thing you want to do, you're going to want to grab one roll immediately and make sure you're able to grab a second one as soon as everyone has had their first. And this is for the sandwich that we've discussed. But you need to have one roll that you eat just with your food, right? We agree with this?
Yeah.
I might just do the sandwich roll. But
no, I think you need both.
Come on, coward. The second thing you need to do is you need to get a large helping of stuffing and the kind that my mom makes, especially for children, or Al, they're interchangeable.
At this point, I can't deny it.
You're going to want enough stuffing that you can have some left over for that second roll. And this stuffing that we have in our family is just essentially air-exposed white bread with butter, salt, pepper, sage, and chicken stock, but it's very good. And the adult version adds onions, mushrooms, and celery. And it's actually pretty good, but for nostalgic purposes, I just prefer to head to the kids' version with Al. Okay, and then third, you're gonna need to get a large helping of mashed potatoes, and then you're gonna wait impatiently for the gravy to be passed. You're gonna need to make a mound in the middle of your mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Put your gravy, and then this is where things get very crazy. We will take frozen peas. This is at the old school Thanksgiving, not the Carasino Thanksgiving, and put them in the middle of your gravy.
Wow.
Yeah, this is just something that we liked as kids. We liked frozen peas. We thought the cooked peas were gross. So we would demand that our mom give us frozen peas, and she would actually meet that demand even on Thanksgiving, give them to us, and then you put them in the middle of your mashed potatoes and gravy to make a nest. Okay, so these are the big important things to get.
Can it be noted that I'm making the Michael Jordan shocked face at the frozen peas in the gravy?
Yeah, it's like a nest, a bird's nest. You got your eggs, you got your, you know. Okay, anyways, then you're going to grab some sweet potatoes.
It's like a bird's nest.
Yeah, you're going to grab some sweet potatoes, not too many because they're overwhelming, but you're going to want some, okay? Then you're going to grab the vegetables, whatever they are, the peas, maybe a little salad. The salad ranks higher in the Carasino Thanksgivings. And then you're going to want to take a little bit of turkey. This is to test the turkey. You will taste the turkey. And if it appears in all respects edible and not too dry, you can go back for more. I prefer to eat the white meat on the first go round and then get the dark meat for the sandwich. If the turkey is dry or otherwise inedible, you're going to want to load that motherfucker up with gravy.
Is there a flowchart here? If turkey is dry, then yes. Load with gravy. Yes. No.
No. Eat and enjoy your meal fully. Otherwise, if it's inedible and dry, you're going to have to just quickly get that turkey down with the gravy as quickly as possible. Move on to the more enjoyable parts of the meal. Okay. Finally, when you've had your first go round, we're going to do what we talked about. You're going to take your second dinner roll that you've already procured. And only at this time will you acknowledge the cranberries. Depending on if they appear edible, you're going to want to take only the slightest amount and put some of it on the dark meat. Then you're going to add this to the roll, which you've cut in half, and add some mashed potatoes, then a layer of stuffing, preferably the child version, and then a small amount of gravy on that. And you're going to want to house that sandwich in approximately 2 minutes. At this point, you will need to sleep. Also, you will need to have drunk at least 2 glasses of Martinelli cider and 2 glasses of wine during this time to do it right. So that was my extended essay on preferred order of Thanksgiving food.
Do you think that our parents' generation know what braining a turkey is?
No.
Okay.
I know I tried it one time. I bought a whole cooler, you know, one of those orange coolers that you get, that you would used to drink like high C out of in the youth's times. No? Gatorade?
Yeah, the big round ones. Like they
actually have a spout?
Yes, it has a spout. And then you're supposed to put the turkey in there and brine it. But then I did it one time, and the thought of salmonella just living in there forever terrified me so much that I had to throw away the cooler, and I've never done it again.
Did you rinse the cooler after?
Yes, but just there's been so much turkey, so much raw turkey just sitting in there. It just scares me, and you can't really...
Even some
bleach wipes? Anything? Bleach?
I don't know. Also, turkey wasn't that much better, so I don't know.
What about seasoning a turkey? Do you think that our parents' generation knows about seasoning a turkey?
I think my mom does a little bit. You know, you put some butter with some seasonings on it, rub it on the skin. I think that's about the extent of it.
I thought you were going to talk about the seasoning that you put on a turkey.
I mean, I seasoned the fuck out of that. I made a turkey a couple weeks ago because, you know, what's better than one Thanksgiving dinner, too? And I seasoned the fuck out of that turkey. And it was great. It was one of the best turkeys. It was like the Thanksgiving meal that we cooked. I guess this was the first Husky game. You know, it was bare bones. It was just turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy, I think, and pumpkin pie. We were just, you know, having a turkey or whatever, but I think it was the best Thanksgiving dinner I've ever had. And it was like, I mean, it's having, I'm not going to say it.
This is peak Tristan right here. Peak Tristan.
I think last Thursday was peak Tristan.
Wait, what?
The podcast.
Oh, good.
I had a bunch of fresh rosemary that I cut up, smattered the thing in rosemary, then covered it in, of course, salt, pepper, garlic, sage, and cayenne. And it was just like so flavorful, the outer layers of the turkey, right? Because the problem with turkey is that, and I did like a quick brine. I got the turkey the day before, so I couldn't do like a full brine.
What did you put it in to brine it?
I just did like a dry brine where you put a bunch of salt on the inside and the outside.
So you didn't have to deal with the juices.
Yeah. But it was just like, it was like a quick and dirty brine, but it was something. And so like the turkey itself was more flavorful. The problem with turkey is that sometimes if it's not perfectly juicy, like you're saying, it's just kind of flavorless a lot of times.
There's like not a lot of margin for error.
No, and that's the thing. It's like when I do the Thanksgivings at my house and my parents still come and they've cooked a turkey at their house for, I don't know what, how many years now, 40, some, probably more than that from before I was born. I still can't figure out when exactly to take the turkey out of the oven because the temperature will read various different things at various different parts of the bird. And yes, I know about spatch cooking, all right? So all you people, I know about it.
Spatch cocking?
You got to spatch cock it.
Oh, spatch cocking. See, I obviously don't actually know about it, but I know about it. I've done it.
She's cooking it with a spatula. She's spatch cooking.
Such an aversion to saying the word cock.
Another long run of the words that I've mispronounced on this podcast.
Well, I mispronounced Donkle at the start of this, so.
But it's very hard to get the temperature right. And my parents, even though they've done it for so many years, they'll come over to my house. And when I have the turkey in the oven, I'll be like, can you check the temperature on this and see if you think it's ready to come out? They'll look at it and they'll be completely befuddled. Like they have no idea. Like they've never done it before. They have no idea if it's safe to come out. It's basically like saying, I'm not going to take liability for your mess. Like you started this, you put it in. You're going to be the one to kill all the people with salmonella. I'm not going to have anything to do with it.
You know, very rarely does Thanksgiving end with a lot of cases of salmonella. I feel like you don't hear about that often. I feel like you hear about the turkey being overcooked before more.
But people are concerned about the undercooking too. I mean, it's a concern.
I had never cooked a turkey in my life until mom decided she wanted one early in the quarantine period, not long after the shutdown. And I think it was like the week before Easter or something like that. I cooked a turkey for the first time and I felt it came out pretty solidly for my first effort.
You had no concerns about the temperature of?
None.
You can tell.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't.
There are meat thermometers inside.
I have a meat thermometer, but it measures done in one part of the bird, very done and very not done.
I feel like you got to really test the vibes. You have to really feel the turkey and when it's done.
I don't know if we've gotten into this on the Peltoncast. Tristan undercooks everything.
Oh, but that's great. I mean, most of the time, except for
thank,
with chicken.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Turkey, but for beef, go ahead and undercook that shit. It's like you're on the outside.
Man. I mean, you see that prime beef that I cooked yesterday?
Looks so very prime.
I think we have discussed that, like, so much of home cooking, we thought things were not good because of our mother's similar fear about food poisoning and therefore eagerness to cook everything as done as possible. And we were like, hamburgers made at home, they taste terrible. Why would you ever grill hamburgers?
Oh, yeah.
I just had no idea.
The steaks were cooked very well done. But my mom does this, even though my mom and I both hypochondriacs. So that's where a lot of the fear comes from with the turkey. She'll cook the stuffing. I know this is controversial. I don't know if you talked about this on your
first inside dinner. The turkey.
Inside the turkey. But here's a little pro tip for all you out there. You can take the stuffing out of the bird and then put it in the oven longer. So you're sure to kill the salmonella.
Of what? What parts of the stuffing would have salmonella?
Because if you're putting it in the interior of the bird, the thought is that it doesn't actually get to the proper temperature to kill the salmonella or whatever the bacteria
from the turkey.
Yes.
But it gets all the juices from the turkey.
Yeah, so you want that. You want that. Like, you want the juices, but you don't want the death. So
I'm about flavor over everything, right? I choose flavor over death. Over here. I choose flavor over anything else. I want food that tastes like food.
Did you make the Guy Fieri reference there? Or I couldn't hear Katie.
Flavor Town?
Yeah, I said that. But I mean, we like Guy Fieri. He's great.
Yeah. Oh. We're actually very pro Guy Fieri. But like, you know, when you go to Momofuku or whatever, you're not, none of the food, you're like, wow, this is bland. Right? Like, it is flavorful food, right? I want it to hit you.
Idea.
But I mean, you got to be careful, though. Because you put too much salt on something and it's just...
No such thing.
No. There is such a thing. You can over put salt on something and it's not great. Other spices, I think you can go hard on. It's just a matter of preference. Like the spiciness level, it's, you know, hot. That's okay. But I think you can get a little out of control with salt and kind of throw everything out of whack.
Are we going to get to address some of these other questions here?
Hold on. Wait. I have a footnote.
A footnote?
I have a footnote on the two types of rolls. Okay, your mom, for many years, I don't know if it's still possible to do this, had a Sam's Club membership, right?
It's not. It's not. I don't think Sam's Club exists anymore. Okay, well, definitely doesn't here.
She did, right?
Yes.
In order to procure some type of roll for Thanksgiving and...
Yes.
Christmas, right? What type of roll was this?
I don't know what the brand was.
They honestly were really good.
Okay. But I don't think she went to Sam's Club really for any other reason than these roles, right?
Yes. Okay. Correct.
Those are good roles, but I grew up with the butter flake roles where you peel off a layer. Do you guys know of these? Peel off a layer.
Mm.
I think they are also good too, but
for a sandwich, the sort of like crusty flaky rolls is what you're talking about.
Not really crust. I mean, they're a little crusty. They're still soft, okay. But you can just like pull off a layer. Like no one knows this.
So like from the can?
No. Mm. It's like a bag. You buy it at the Safeway or whatever. And it's a bag full of rolls. And then you just heat them in the oven for 10 minutes and then.
Yeah, you're saying like the 12 top or whatever, they're like brown on the top, little square rolls.
No, they're not square. They're like round with like a muffin top kind of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
that's what you would get.
Yeah. And I still think you guys say that the Sam's Club's rolls are the best rolls.
They're pretty damn good.
But I still like, I would put mine in a fight, a taste.
You want rolls that are going to be soft and gooey on the inside.
The Sam's Club does do that.
And that's what I'm telling you. You want food that's just like not undercooked, but just cooked.
Yes. It's finding the right balance there.
Like it is cooked and it is no further than that. And you bite into it and you're like, wow. You want the inside. You want the inside to be warm and gooey.
That's true. Yeah, I'll give you that. So okay, Katie, that's all my footnote.
Katie hit on the drink situation earlier, but I would say the Pelton cast, we're a beer podcast. We drink a different beer every week. But Thanksgiving tends to be more about drinking wine.
For red wine.
Reason. Oh, yeah.
Always.
And is red wine what you're actually supposed to drink with poultry?
No one knows.
Scholars are divided on the issue. Ideally, it should be homemade Italian red wine.
Oh, Jim wine. Jim wine is the homemade wine. Bob wine, which is what we're partaking in today, from Katie's dad, lives in Washington State wine country, knows about the wine deals, and sometimes finds cases of wine for $3 a bottle.
Oh, this is what I was going to talk about, is how it's a very Carasino thing to try to find like the best deal on something. And, you know, she's offended that she can't use her gift card for $7 or whatever. Mm-hmm. My dad will be like,
she's willing to risk her life, not offended.
Oh yeah.
My dad willing to die and kill other members of her family for it. Yes.
Not
just clarifying that point for you.
Not really gone out in the pandemic except for to pick up wine cases. But he will be like, okay, I got this case of wine. It's really good wine. But I'm going to give you some of them to split with Chris. I didn't give you very many, my brother, but these are the really good ones. So, you know, you can't keep them all. And I'll be like, okay, no big deal. I'll do that. And then he'll be like, yeah, these ones were $3 a bottle. So, you know. And I was thinking like the really good ones was actually like a nice bottle of wine. I was thinking, okay, well, like $20 or something a bottle, you know, maybe 30. I don't know. No. $3 a bottle. That I
$3
have
a bottle.
We very got careful that I don't drink them all immediately, because that's something I would do, I guess.
There were two cases of Bob gave us. I was like, give me a case of wine, Bob. Literally anytime you could get a case of wine for $3 a bottle, just sign me up, right? I want to permanently be on that. I think I might be drinking that exact same wine.
We're drinking Unbroken.
Yes, the red blend.
Yes, the blended red from Horse Heaven Hills in Washington.
There we go. Well, free shout out there for you, Horse Heaven Hills. that shout out's worth literally free pizza. But Jan was like, I have one case of Cabernet Sauvignon, one case of red blend. It's 10 a.m. And I'm like, just give me the Cabernet or whatever. And she's like, no, we have to taste test these two wines at 10 a.m. Come outside with glasses, a knife, and a corkscrew. And I'm like, Jan, it's 10 a.m. And she's like, come out right now.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
And this is during the pandemic.
This was like 2 weeks ago.
You guys have been like very careful and not interacting too much.
Not stabbing each other with knives outside while taste testing wine. I'm like, all right, fine. And then the whole day is like shot when you're starting to drink wine at 10 a.m.
Could you tell a difference?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So the Cabernet is better?
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit, yeah. Wait, did you? I don't. What did you get? Did you?
I'm drinking the red blend, and we also got the Cabernet. But
you got the combo that I got also, because that's where we ended at. Is I was like, yeah, the Cabernet is better, and Jan was like, well, we're gonna split them then.
No, it's great.
It was 6-5 though. It was 6-5 in my favor.
You got the extra?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I got the extra Cabernet. She got an extra red blend. So that's what I'll be drinking this Thanksgiving. And I feel like red wine is just, for whatever reason, I don't really like. I think beer is too heavy to drink with the Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Now, see, the original Thanksgiving that I was a part of, my mom's side of the family, except for my mom,
2% milk.
We're Christian Scientists. And that means that you don't drink alcohol. And so we would have Martinelli's cider. And so I grew up drinking that. And my mom would have to get probably 10 bottles of Martinelli's cider for like a 9-person Thanksgiving, because we just
popping bottles of Martinelli's.
Yes, really, truly. And then we would go, jump on the trampoline afterwards or something. And we'd be very confused as to why we were sick afterwards. Looking back, it's kind of clear to see why you drink that much Martinelli's and do a, 2-course normal turkey plus sandwich. That gets to be a lot going on in the stomach.
Lots of bottle plus of Martinelli's.
Yeah. So I grew up on that, and I still like to drink that as an adult, but I mix it with the wine because
fancy.
You alternate it. You're not actually mixing it, right?
No, dear God, that would be disgusting. But
I thought that's what you're saying, is you just do it all in the same
glass. No, you got your Martinelli's glass, and then you got your wine glass. You actually set 2 different glasses for each of those things. But my dad, we talked about
side of the plate does the Martinelli's glass go on, and which side does the wine glass go on?
The left for the Martinelli's and the right for the wine.
That checks out.
Somewhere. But my dad, he did not like this no wine rule at Thanksgiving. And so he would always we would not fight about it, because we don't fight about things, on that side of the family especially. So he would just pour himself a glass of maybe white wine, so you can't really tell what's going on there, and drink it with the dinner as sort of a silent,
protest
you to the prohibition. But like, he always used to tell us,
like a real rum runner.
He always used to tell us that our great grandma said that he's Catholic, that being Catholic is the best religion as opposed to Christian Science, because you could drink and gamble. So that's kind of.
He would say this at Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, dear God. He would just tell us that. No. You could not do that kind of conflict type talk.
He would just drop in with why Catholicism is better than Christian Science every once in a while. That's
what great grandma Teresa would say. She would say that Catholicism was the best religion because you can drink and gamble. You don't remember this? They'd have the parties where they'd play poker.
She was dead long before I was born.
I'm talking about the parties that would occur that reflected the time when she was alive.
And some things that happened to the Catholic Church also happened after the time that she was alive.
I'm not caping for the Catholic Church, okay? I'm just saying, when you have one side that's the Christian Science side, and the other side that's the Catholic side.
Delete all this out.
There are some benefits in celebrating Thanksgiving with the Catholic side. No?
Wine is certainly a big part of our family tradition.
Yes. I don't. This has never, honestly, never come up.
Yeah, you've never heard this story?
I don't remember that story either. So how much room do you save for dessert? And the answer is never enough.
Oh, no, that's not the answer.
No, you save the exact right amount.
No, I mean, I'm going to eat the dessert. I just haven't saved enough room for it.
No, the answer to that is one does not save room for dessert. One makes room for dessert. One makes an addition in the house for dessert.
One is written down?
Yes. One eats the pumpkin pie because that is what is right and just, but it must have whipped cream or ice cream to go with it.
You're going to want a little pumpkin pie and a little sweet potato pie, I think, ideally, because those are both good pies. But honestly, the best dessert is usually our aunt makes like a kind of pudding and whipped cream dessert, and that's the best of the desserts. You're not agreeing with this?
Maybe Tristan will agree with you. I think we've had pumpkin cheesecake that's been good.
That is also quite good.
Yes. I really like Laurie's lemon meringue pie, which she makes sometimes.
Oh, interesting. See, I'm not a big fan of lemon meringue. It's nothing to do with her. It's just not my favorite thing. So that'd be low on my Thanksgiving dessert power rankings.
Tristan, what do you think about this? Would you say that pumpkin pie ranks below the pudding? No, pudding? Is it pudding or?
It's like pudding and whipped cream, that sort of stuff.
Or is it Jello whipped cream?
There's also sometimes that, yes.
But you're talking about something that's pudding whipped cream.
Yeah.
I would definitely not say that. I would say that. Who is it who are?
Me?
Al's arguing this.
Fuck out of here. I would say that sweet potato pie ranks number one, pumpkin pie ranks number two. And my only concern with the both of them is that we haven't spiced them up enough. Again, flavor over everything.
You're going to get some nutmeg in there?
Oh.
You got to be careful with the nutmeg, man.
I'm not making, look, children are eating these pies. I have given up this battle or whatever. But if it were up to me, I would want a much spicier pumpkin pie.
This is what I've been talking about with Ben. I don't know if you're talking about children. Are you talking about children in your house or children eating the pie?
They're one and the same.
Different children are coming to eat the pie.
I've been arguing with my husband about how you have to make the base dish very bland for the children.
Well, that's the good thing about turkey is turkey has kind of a lot of layers to it. It's like you can make the outer layer and the skin can be quite spicy, but the inner layer of the turkey is still turkey. Like,
yes.
So I think you can kind of find a balancing act for that. Pie is not. Pie, it's all in the mix.
Yeah, so you kind of, I don't think you can go too much nutmeg. Well, I mean, I guess the kids don't really care that much about the pie until they're
older. Oh, they care a lot about the pie.
Okay, well, I don't think you can go that heavy on the nutmeg then.
I'm not going to. It's fine. Like, there's things, look, we don't have mac and cheese. I don't get to go heavy on the nutmeg on the pie. It's okay. But I'm just saying I want a stronger flavor profile in basically everything that I eat.
That's a good take to have, but I just think it's hard to meet with the children because they don't like the spice.
Oh no, Marco. Sometimes there'll be food where it's like literally, I'll like do like one like twist of the cracked pepper or whatever, and he'll be like, "I tasted so much spice in that," and I'm like, "Just eat it. You're fine."
I do like when they think that just pepper is spicy. No, you don't even know.
Just you wait.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes pepper is spicier than cayenne. Like, the cayenne's like a little tangy, but I think pepper sometimes can leave more of a lasting impression.
Mm. I suppose if you get a real concentration of it, but I don't know.
I'm just saying there's some peppers that we have in our cupboard that could do a lot more than that. Pepper green.
That sounds so intimidating.
They're in bags and they're dried, and Ben makes all kinds of salsas out of them. So
I want to eat those salsas. Thank you.
We have a lot of them in the fridge right now.
Of salsas?
Yeah.
Just leave some on your porch tomorrow. I'll be by. I just went to Mrs. Fantasy Genius and I was like, "Are you asleep?" And she was like, "Yes, go away." And I was like, "Katie's on a roll." Did not wake up for that.
The last question here was, do you eat early or at a normal dinner time? And traditionally, we have definitely eaten like the between lunch and dinner, like what, about a 4 o'clock, 4:30 dinner time?
3 p.m. this year, according, by the way, 3 p.m. my house.
Oh, okay.
We eat early 3 as well.
I don't know why we do this. I don't get it.
Because
you
want to eat and then you want to sleep.
Like, yeah.
You get in, you have your turkey and then you do like a nap. Like just not do anything for the rest of the day. It's just.
I mean, you're definitely going to end up on the couch for sure.
Yeah.
Watching the the Thursday night football game on NBC.
I was trying to, the butt fumble game, that was Thanksgiving.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. Wait.
I mean, we're here. I think we're there.
But I just, I don't think there's such a thing as normal dinner time and normal lunchtime. I think for Thanksgiving, the 3 to 5 range is, that is Thanksgiving dinner time. Because you're not having lunch and it is dinner. It's kind of filling both roles in a situation where there's no real term for this, right? But it is the one situation where we have the brunch of dinner.
And this is tough for me, who needs very structured meals.
Oh God! Don't you eat one time a day? This should be your like perfect fantasy of a meal. No, you just eat your Thanksgiving dinner and you're good to go the entire day. It's true. Aren't you the person who now says you can only eat one big meal and then you get stuffed for the entire day?
Yes, but I have to eat beforehand, and it's tough to time it right.
Why do you have to eat beforehand? Why do you have to do that?
Because otherwise, it will be, first off, it's worse if you don't eat anything beforehand. Like, this is classic buffet knowledge.
It's right there on the first page of the buffet handbook.
Oh, sorry, Jan didn't give me that.
Oh my God, we need to have Nate Duncan on to talk about buffets. That's going to happen. We're going to do that. But it's just very difficult for me to time that out, so I'm perfectly hungry.
Okay, I understand. More unbroken.
Unbroken.
Okay. Now let's actually just remember some specific Thanksgiving memories. Yes, the butt fumble. We were all gathered.
No.
You were not there?
No.
But he was there.
Continue.
Your younger brother was there.
Yeah.
Moogle was there for sure.
Yes, yeah. He was. And we were in the den, I guess, at our aunt and uncle's house watching that game. What a great time.
No, I remember this because I have a terrible memory, so this could all be wrong. But I remember watching it as one of the few Thanksgivings I spent at my husband's grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. And they had the football game on, but nobody else was really watching football because I didn't really care about it. And Ben hadn't been convinced by me that he needed to like sports at that time, so he wasn't paying attention.
Brainwashed. Brainwashed.
So funny that Ben used to not like sports.
And then...
Didn't he meet when he started?
Yeah, and now he knows either, right? way more about the Seahawks and stuff that I do. It's very funny. But when Mark Sanchez, did the butt fumble, I was just like, does everybody see this? So I was just freaking out and wanting to talk to people about it, and there was no one to talk to about it. So that sticks out to me as a...
Fortunately, we all had each other to share the butt fumble. But
I do want to say, I think it was maybe possible for getting Ben to kind of start liking sports, because you see something like the butt fumble, you're like, this is funny, I can make fun of this. And then you just start watching it, and then you're like, oh, this is exciting. So, we have Mark Sanchez to thank for a lot.
Wow. Never considered that. So Thanksgiving memories. So, I mean, I was thinking about when we were kids, we used to go to our uncle's parents' house, right, in Spanaway, Washington, which is not a place that I've been to anytime before or after. And we used to go there for Thanksgiving every year. I don't know how that happened with our family that we ended up there, but we would go to their house, have Thanksgiving. There were tons of like bear pelts around from killed animals, right? And this was the only time of year. Did you ever go to a Thanksgiving there, Katie?
Wait, whose house is this?
At Renee and Jim's house.
Oh, God, no. Oh, no.
So we used to go there one time a year just for Thanksgiving. I think the food is maybe low-key excellent, but...
I don't remember. It's too long ago.
We were pretty young when we would go there. So we would go upstairs. It was a split-level house. You would go upstairs in the bear pelt room. They were all the bear pelt room, but... In the bear pelt living room, and that's where you would eat. But then after dinner, everybody would go downstairs, and it would be, I think they must have had a gas burning stove or something, and it would be 10,000 degrees in their basement. And it was, but I'm not complaining. You would go downstairs to a literal sauna, and it was like you had the thing that they give you before you have your wisdom teeth pulled, and it would be like 10, 9, 8, boom, you're asleep right after dinner in this 1,000-degree basement. And I am not complaining. It actually is still maybe my favorite Thanksgiving memories ever.
I have a distinct memory of watching In Living Color down there on Thanksgiving.
To me, it's The Simpsons. There's that episode where The Simpsons get stuck in the woods, right? And we watched that when, I think it used to debut on Thanksgiving night, The Simpsons, during like peak Simpsons, because they were only day football games. So it'd be like the Cowboys would play on Fox and then The Simpsons would debut that night. Like, that is Thanksgiving in goddamn America.
We were definitely not allowed to watch The Simpsons.
You were not allowed to watch the Dallas Cowboys, things that were explicitly forbidden in your house. Leon Lett. Thanksgiving football.
What I call the Dallas the Cowboys cheerleaders. That was what was.
and The Simpsons. It's.
The Simpsons was a show that my parents forbade, but then my dad would see it and start laughing at it, you know, like in spite of himself.
Okay, so a couple of Thanksgiving memories I thought about as I considered this. One, I want to see whether you remember, Katie, because it involves you used to live in the house I live in before I lived here. What?
The answer is no.
Oh.
I remember something.
There was one Thanksgiving, I think, where you went back to the Tri-Cities, and we were at our grandparents' house. And came over to your house to come play video games. Tristan recalls apparently us renting an NBA, like a 2K game from Blockbuster.
I mean, I do remember going to a Blockbuster and renting a game. Like, I have that memory. I don't know if you guys.
But you weren't here. And so we came over.
Katie was definitely there when that happened.
No.
You rented the game in Seattle and then you came to Tri-Cities.
No.
No, this we stayed in Seattle. My recollection of this is, so we came over and then we went back and ate Thanksgiving meal. And then you came back on like Sunday night from the Tri-Cities and discovered that the house was 80 degrees because Tristan had turned the heat way up. It was cold in the house. You had turned off the heat, but he was like thinking that, oh, if I put the thermostat at 80, it'll get hot faster, which is not actually the case. And then left it there the entire weekend.
I don't have any recollection of this, no. This is the Wedgwood house? The Wedgwood house?
No, this house, the house I've been.
Oh, nope, no idea. Not a memory that I have or possess.
The Wedgwood house we just went to one time to watch the Holiday Bowl after going to the old Spaghetti Factory.
That wasn't Wedgwood.
That's Wallingford, yeah.
Missed that house. Good house. I have memories of that house. I can remember that house.
How much do you think that house is worth now?
Oh, God. $2 million at least.
You can like see the skyline in Lake Union from like the front yard of that house.
For rent, I think it was a total of like $1,400 a month rent there.
I don't remember, but it wasn't much.
The Wedgwood house was, I think, $1,200.
It's insane.
It was 7707 Northeast 25th Street, right?
Yeah, I wonder if that's been demolished and made into a gigantic house now.
We talked about one of the Thanksgiving memories in the Wedgwood house, which is you guys hosting the Pelton, like our dad's side of the family Thanksgiving, the day that,
Feely missed like 7 field goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks won against the Giants in a crucial matchup.
Was it Thanksgiving, Tristan, when your girlfriend at the time's family came over and I told her that it was okay to put potato skins down the drain, even though we didn't have a disposal, and then we clogged the drain?
I think that might have been that day when you were like doing plumbing for 5 straight hours.
Because I told her to put potato skins down the sink. Oh, that was bad. That was a mistake.
I don't think that was the same. Why were we cooking potatoes otherwise? You
know, those are the kind of memories I have. Not Tristan's mistakes, my mistakes. Those are the ones that stick with me.
Obviously, the time that the Seahawks ended the 49ers, Jim Harbaugh dynasty on Thanksgiving night, like that was, I mean, for us, the most important Thanksgiving football game ever and the most fun Thanksgiving football game ever.
It was so high stakes because it was like, this is going to either entirely ruin Thanksgiving or entirely make Thanksgiving.
Were we together for that, or was that a separate Thanksgiving?
I don't think you were there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I know I watched it, though, so.
And this is as opposed to the other times the Seahawks, they played the Cowboys a couple times on Thanksgiving, but they were like terrible.
They played like a super forgettable game against the Cowboys.
I definitely remember there was a game where like Julius Jones had a big game against the Seahawks, I think, on Thanksgiving. before he played for them.
But that Niners game, like, we were watching it. The stakes were, you know, like, normally we're watching games just like us together plus one or two other people. This was like us together plus extended family, plus friends of family, plus the family of friends of family there. And you're getting into like pretty questionable territory of how fired up you want to be about a football game. And if it would have gone poorly, like some shit might have gone down. You know, it was definitely like the bad feelings that you feel if there is a Seahawks game that goes poorly against the 49ers. Like, you might need to leave for the den for a little while or whatever. Spend some time in the garage. Just take a walk around Puyallup. But like, this was kind of the exact opposite of that, where it could have gone so bad. I remember being nervous going into it.
Oh yeah. I think this was the first year of the Pelton cast, right?
No, we won the Super Bowl? No, we didn't win the Super Bowl.
That was the season after that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was when we were feuding with each other. We came together to watch this game.
We were definitely nervous about this one, suffice it to say.
We were nervous about it both because of the game and then also just the situation. Because it was so different from where we'd watched every other game. Like, you can't get your Carcino energy out where you need to, like, scream at other people if something's going badly, call the game over if the other team scores a touchdown first. Like,
end up in pace?
Yeah, it would 2 minutes into the game if you're saying, this game's over. And then everybody else is like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with this guy? That's not how football works.
We all know certain things to be true and consistent with football. And just, you know, it's important, you know, points to hit or whatever in the cycle of a football game. But like, these random people from the Northeast do not know what's going on.
No.
So there were high stakes. But then after that, just seeing Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman eating turkey legs on the 49ers field, like, it's the greatest moment of the Seahawks dynasty. Or at least it's at least a top five moment, right? You have like the Super Bowl, you have Michael Bennett riding the bike, you have the Seahawks eating turkey legs.
Top five celebratory moment.
The tip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was after the turkey legs. And then Jermaine Kearse catching the touchdown to send them to the Super Bowl against Green Bay.
Oh god.
Julius Jones, by the way, turns out was on the Seahawks on that game. It was a Julius Jones revenge game. He had 11 carries for 37 yards. The Seahawks lost 34-9 and dropped to 2-10.
That might have been why it was a forgettable game. Oh,
I barely even remember watching the game because it was
who
like,
started the quarterback?
Matt Hass was quarterback.
And they were 2-10.
This is surprising to me too.
This was the last year of the Mike Holmgren era.
The year that they drafted Aaron Curry.
Yep.
Brutal. So, well, one other essential part of Thanksgiving, at least since, you know, what was the year that they changed this officially?
Well, I mean, it was always the weekend previously. The Apple Cup was the weekend before Thanksgiving. So it's always been around Thanksgiving. Like, I have a distinct memory of watching the 92 game where the Cougs won in the snow with the Pelton side of the family when we were doing our Pelton Thanksgiving the Saturday before Thanksgiving.
Oh my God, the Pelton Thanksgiving, I should not say anything, but because I personally have all sorts of allergies, that Thanksgiving is like, there's all sorts of stuff going on. We stopped doing, I think, the Pelton Thanksgiving at some point, but it was just like, there's 10 different types of meals to be eaten. Like the most dietary choices and allergen friendly Thanksgiving that I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, that's not as bad as I thought you were going to make it seem.
No, I think all the stuff was quite good, but it was just like that Thanksgiving there was like the last one that we had, I want to say there was like a field roast turkey. There was not a real turkey.
The Pelton Thanksgiving is often non-traditional in terms of the food options.
I enjoy that. I want to have my traditional Thanksgiving, but then you go and have a little bit of something different in addition. That's fun.
But so at some point, they permanently moved the Apple Cup. which sadly is not going to be played on, at the very least, the weekend after Thanksgiving this year. And I think the tradition of being the day after Thanksgiving has been pretty cool.
Because the Huskies have won basically all of them.
But even just in general, as far as the hang goes, I think it really makes it a more important game. And I remember there being some times, granted the team was pretty bad during some of these years, but like when it was these random kind of dark Saturdays, like you were saying, the weekend before Thanksgiving, like it doesn't mean quite as much as the Black Friday Apple Cup has meant. And moving to that day, I think, has really elevated the game in a lot of ways, especially given the Huskies' dominance during that era. But like these are games that matter. Everybody has it off. You're like, it's Thanksgiving, and then this is the hangover from Thanksgiving is the Apple Cup.
I mean, the other thing it's coincided with is our family becoming much more of a split family.
Yes.
Because Katie married a Coug, and then, you know, her youngest brother went to Wazoo before going to UW for grad school. So I
always had to deal with it because my mom's family were Cougars. So Thanksgiving was always contentious. At least, you know, you'd get a lot of crosstalk about, so we didn't fight about anything, but you know, you'd just make a little pot shot.
Snide comment.
Yes. Snide comment about, you know, something like Mike Price is really great this year or something.
Oh my God.
And then
he had it rolling.
You do something like that. And then like it grew into having a husband and a brother who both went to WSU, and I have lots of friends from WSU. So I've attended at least the precursor to an Apple Cup in Pullman.
What's the precursor to an Apple Cup?
Not like tailgating, just the precursor.
No, that's what I mean. I know at some point, I have very bad memory, but I know at some point I went during college, maybe after college, not sure, to Pullman and did the partying, tailgating before the game. I don't know if I actually went to the game, but very good time. Very enjoyable.
You brought up the memory of the 2012 Apple Cup, which is the last time that Washington State won the Apple Cup.
Yes.
31-28 in overtime.
And so this was, I think we were watching it at my house.
That's correct. Yes.
And my dad was there. And my dad, he is a bit of a contrarian. And he also...
UW alum, your dad, Bob, by the way.
Undergrad and law school alum. Twice over. Yeah.
Double UW alum.
And two oldest children both went to UW. Yeah.
But he does teach classes at WSU Tri-City. So his allegiances are split that way. And then he also has a son who went to UW to WSU for his undergrad, but is going to UW for...
You've got like a combination of 7 degrees in the family from UW, I think. Am I doing this math correctly?
Because
Michael's got 2. You've got 2. Bob's got 2.
But Chris, Michael's first one isn't from UW.
But he had 2 at UW, didn't he?
He hasn't got his PhD yet.
Oh, okay.
Let's not talk of that.
Troll.
Still 6. The score is 6-1.
Chris didn't get his degree, right? He got he got 1 degree.
Yeah, it's 6-1.
Okay. Yes. But yes, the score is heavily in UW's favor, but my dad is a bit of a troll. He likes to, you know, say things to piss people off sometimes. And so UW was up by a lot, I remember. And then he said something to the extent of, wow, I really hope this gets to be a close game. And I remember everyone there, even people like my sister-in-law, Reagan, who's not that big of a sports fan, just started getting very upset at Bob as the game went on, because the Cougars started coming back and coming back.
It was 28-10 Huskies. Bishop Sankey scored with 54 seconds left in the third quarter. The Cougs rattled off 18 unanswered in the fourth quarter to tie it.
And then we went to overtime.
We went to overtime because Travis Kuhns missed a field goal at the end of regulation that would have won it. And so I was
going that game.
I don't think so. I was going to the Blazers game that night in Portland, and it was like very tight timing. And I stuck around for all of regulation, or like close to all of regulation, and left.
Travis Were you Coons standing with your arms crossed during regulation?
I'm sure I was.
So upset.
Travis Coons misses that kick, and I'm like, well, this is obviously over now. And indeed, the Cougs went on to win in overtime.
Was that the year we played Baylor? We played RG3 in the bowl game?
No, that was the year that UW lost to Boise State in the Vegas Bowl.
But my dad's saying this has had such an effect that people remember it. People who are not
fan,
they remember this. And they just like, Bob, you know, you're going to need to keep your mouth shut and cheer for the team, which you're supposed to be cheering for. Mm-hmm. Don't say anything about, we want this to be a close game. We want this to be a fucking blowout.
Shut your mouth and get us wine.
We should also certainly remember the 2002 Apple Cup when Wazoo entered that game 10-1, I believe. Yeah, 10-1. Or 9-1. I guess they won the next week. And the Huskies upset the number 3 Cougars in that one in overtime, also in overtime, 29-26.
This was Jason Gesser's Cougars.
Yeah, Gesser got knocked out of that game. Matt Kegel was the quarterback who got sacked at the end by Kai Ellis. To end it in overtime.
There definitely was a time period where it felt like the Huskies had dominated the Cougars so much that Wazoo could be the number 3 team in the country, and it didn't feel like that incredible of a win.
Yeah. It was sort of, I mean, it was definitely a big brother, little brother thing. Like, yeah, you can be good against everyone else, but not against UW, which there's been an element of that the last few seasons, certainly in the Mike Leach era. And got to tell you, I really miss Mike Leach in those Apple Cups, man. Jimmy Lake and I both miss Mike Leach.
I enjoy the, I don't remember what year it was, but the Mustache Mania year. You remember that year?
That would have been 2 years ago, right?
Yeah. Yes. So what? I was at my parents' house, and we made, before the game started, we made customized shirts for everyone on my machine that makes vinyl for shirts. And so all the Cougars in the family had the Mike Leach with a mustache on him, like how he wore that mustache, you know, that one picture. No, okay. Anyways, and then the rest of us had various UW shirts. I have a nice family picture of us all like that, happy. And you can see the Cougar fans in the picture are intently watching the game because they were upset because they were losing. And then they ended up losing at the end. It's a good.
That was the year that it snowed like the entire game, right?
I don't actually know because I watched none of the game. I was making shirts the entire time.
I think you were in time.
Yes, that was
freaking Tri-Cities snowball. And you could have gone. And I think we told you that you should have gone and then you didn't. But it also was like it snowed literally the entire game.
Well, you're always worried if you go to the game, that one game that you do go to, you will jinx the game.
That was not the case. The Apple Cup I went to, where, as we talked about a few weeks ago on Let's Remember Season, the Huskies won 51-3 to clinch a Rose Bowl berth.
Don't you kind of have a bad record traveling to games?
Not as bad as Third Pelton Brothers, Nate, Alicia, Tyler, and Lexi.
Okay.
Who have not been to a win. So I've been to some of the games that they've been to, and therefore those have been losses at Colorado last year. I mean, Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, it's like, I don't think we lost because I was there.
God, when you see Dwayne Haskins now, you're just like, damn, come on.
Yeah, but you also don't see Jake Browning now.
I feel like he has to be better than Dwayne Haskins.
Sometimes there's a reason you don't play at all. I mean, also, there was a lot of really good players. Joey Bosa was on that team, right? Or Nick Bosa, I should say.
The couple that I remember are, so there was one, this was one of the first times that I remember it being on that Friday after the Apple Cup. Our youngest cousin had just started at Wazoo. And so I remember having an early start tailgating at in Padelford. Do you remember this? And it was like a beautiful Black Friday. It was like,
were you there for this game or no?
Yeah, we were all there. It was like everybody in the family went. Okay. You know, both sides. We were all
a picture, and I made the cider.
Absolutely, you did.
All right,
but it was just like one of the nicest late November tailgates that we've ever had. It was like one of those like beautiful late November Seattle days, and it was an early game, and we all got up like we were at Thanksgiving together. On Thursday night beforehand, and then got an early start on Friday, and then the Huskies beat the shit out of the Cougars, and it was great. The other time was, it lends itself very uniquely to tailgating for sure, but if the weather doesn't permit, to eating at different places in the area. So we had, I don't know if you remember this, Katie, you weren't there, Kevin, I don't know why, but we had a Din Tai Fung tailgate.
Oh yeah, remember that? Yeah, I don't remember the game, but I remember the food.
I was hanging out with some other friends, because my friends from who live in Kansas were in town for the
other friends. We went freaking nuts at Din Tai Fung, right? Like it was like an insane bill at Din Tai Fung, because there was a huge group of us, right? And we were having drinks. We talked about going beforehand. Like there were other podcast listeners there. Like it was a great time.
Wait, was this the time when I made us go to the bar next door?
Probably, but that was a wise decision also.
Because I was like, we don't need to wait here this whole time. They'll call us or whatever. Let's go over to the, what is it? Rachel's. You get a slush drink. You pound the slush drink and you come back over to the Din Tai Fung and you get seated for your reservation.
Is that a sneak?
It's not a sneak. It's very unwise and I would not recommend it to anyone. But
it's just a really good decision.
In the moment.
That was 2017.
And it was like that. That was kind of the perfect day. And I remember walking through E1 and it was just like, it was like we were walking through a war zone after that, right? Like,
yeah.
I think we met up with, were you tailgating in E1 that day?
Yeah, I think yes. We met up with him.
And we met up with you and Mrs. Fantasy Genius and Katie were there. And it was just like, people were shotgunning beers like all around us, right? It was one of those moments where you're like the fog of war. You're like, I can't tell what's going on, but every single person around me is shotgunning a beer. And that was like one of the craziest tailgates.
That might have been the night where the time when we just found like a champagne bottle on the ground or something, started drinking it. Like,
that's what the apple comes
from. Imagine doing something like that right now. Like, God.
I mean, I was reminiscing about last year going to Seattle Biscuit Company before the game.
That was good.
The only time we've
so
been
good.
There, it was great. I don't know why we never went back, but I do know why we didn't go back, because now the idea that you could go in and go to a restaurant and eat there.
Yeah, that was like late November. We didn't have that many opportunities to go back.
I could have gone back
for takeout since then, actually.
Oh.
I drive to Ballard for food. I do it.
Thanks for letting us know about Katie Eats on that one.
You know, I do a lot of secret Katie Eats.
Wow. The worst. Let's see. There was another game I wanted to mention. Oh, the
meeting for all.
Yeah. The Apple Cup at CenturyLink Field.
Oh, yeah.
Stadium began being renovated. That was a lot of fun. I'm not opposed to the idea of CenturyLink Field as a permanent
Is there only one of those?
There's one. We hung out at Showbox Soto and Walter Jones was there with us.
Right. Oh, that was fun.
Which was awesome. I say that as if we were like going with Walter Jones. So it was like, it was all the Carcinos and our friend Walter Jones. We were all hanging out. But no, Big Walt Jones was like at the table next to us. And I think, you know, Chris from who you know from Talking Taco Time, of course, Chris was there with us and I think got a photo with Walt Jones. That was a good time, but I will say it's not the same. Like the idea of if you play every single one at CenturyLink, I'm probably okay with it as a neutral site, but like our best memories of Apple Cups have been, like we said, going to Din Tai Fung, going to Seattle Biscuit Company, being there and tailgating in Philadelphia early.
I mean, those things are nice now, the additions to going to restaurants, but really the thing is the environment that you get when you're around masses of people drinking, getting ready to cheer on their team. That's what's exciting. That's what you want to do. You want to be in that environment.
And I'm willing to trade that once every 2 years for like an okay time every year.
But you know, it's not unique to UW. Like when I went to WSU at some point in my life.
Tailgate there?
No,
well.
Shut up.
I mean,
like it's the Apple Cup energy is what I'm trying to say. It's like,
yes. Yeah, you've got families where you've got some Cougs and some Huskies. I mean, it's just a good dot.
So it's not a hateful rivalry. It's not like the Oregon rivalry.
Oh, yeah. No, there's nothing good can come from Oregon.
No, It's a fun rivalry.
They're our Blazers.
Exactly at that line south of Portland. That's the cutoff line.
But it's still, I've been to it was a party in Seattle, but I remember it was when I was in high school and we came over and we went to a party at the corner of 45th. Do you know where that old Office Depot used to be? 45th and where you get onto I-5?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah, that's
okay. Yeah.
What is okay. that now?
Someone used to have a house very close to there, and we went to a party that was my friend Vicky's, her friends, and it was just a mixture of Cougars and Huskies having this house party the day before the Apple Cup or something like that. And it was just really fun. But it was all very good natured because you know the people and you're friends with them before you have the school.
Yeah, that's why it's a good rivalry. The Oregon rivalry, we don't really know anything about those people.
No.
I know a lot of Oregon alums.
We didn't come up knowing them, right?
No. Who could they be? What do they believe in? Who are they? I don't think we understand them as human beings. I might need a New York Times piece as an expose to understand them even better.
You have to go to a diner in Eugene to understand.
Look, we need to reach out to them in this time in our country.
I feel like the Wall Street Journal did that with the Sounders Timbers rivalry.
Wazoo we get. It really, even being at the games, there's something that's fun about the Apple Cup.
Oh, being at the games. Let us discuss.
Yeah, I thought you were going to get to that earlier.
The game where, I don't even know if this is the same one you're thinking of, where Michael, my brother, it's very easy to bring alcohol into the games. I would never do it because I'm a law-abiding citizen.
I thought you were trying to think of what the stadium was called, and I was like, Lumen Field. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about at our stadium, where Michael, my younger brother, much younger, 9 years younger, brought in beer in a bottle instead of a can at one of the Apple Cups, right? There's an Apple Cup, right? He snuck into our part of the stadium, which is the best section in the stadium.
Was this in our East End zone, or was this when he was in our student tickets?
There's two stories here.
Oh, okay.
But this is the East End zone story.
I don't remember the other story. So in the East End.
Okay, you tell yours.
Okay, East End zone story. Michael opens a beer and starts drinking it. And there's a lovely family sitting below us. Mother, child, husband, daughter. Lovely, lovely people. And he opens the beer and then is so drunk after drinking all the tailgating drinking or whatever that he
This is the Din Tai Fung day.
Yeah, he drops the bottle of beer. Big crash noise, beer spraying on the ground. And then the guy comes up, the investigator guy, right? The guy with the yellow jacket.
The usher.
Investigator is his technical name.
We're on good terms with. We're on good terms with one usher. The rest of them, not so much. And
we're mostly on no terms with most of the ushers, to be clear.
It's good that
there's
we're taking
one really great usher. I wish we could give him a shout out. I don't know his name, but he's a great
the
guy.
Which one you consider us on good terms? The older dude or the younger?
The older dude who looks the other way. The younger guy, no.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we've been there. He was been there in the bad times and the good. He was been there in the 0-12, that guy. Okay.
We didn't have these tickets when we were 0-12, but okay.
Yes, we had end zone tickets.
We never sat in the end zone. We sat over the student section.
We sat in the end zone because we knew sad guy in the end zone that we saw in the newspaper.
I think that was a different year, wasn't it?
This is going to require, I think that was earlier to be technical. This is going to require a lot of links to try to explain all this. There was a guy who sat near us in the front row when we were at the front, when we would sit in the front row in the east end zone when it was
GA.
GA as opposed to ticketed seats.
That was the year that we lost to BYU. We weren't 0-12 that year, right?
That wasn't the 0-12 year?
The year we lost to BYU in the Seattle Times
of sad guy.
Really?
It was after an UW Arizona game. I'm not certain if it was that year, but
no, the game that the sad guy was that wasn't the BYU game.
No,
when he was in the newspaper.
No, it was UW Arizona. I'm certain of it.
But sad guy was like a really intense fan, like we were. Like shake the fence, do your part.
Can't shake the fence.
But Sad Guy was like an intense man. And he was truly feeling the depths of our losses that year. And so they took a picture for the Seattle Times of him looking very sad. And I don't know how this relates to anything we were talking about.
This is our relationship with the ushers.
But oh, wait, right. So that usher knew us in those times. Okay. He was there then. And he never kicked you once out for shaking the fence, Tristan. No. Good friend. So he didn't kick my brother out for dropping the bottle of beer.
Oh, that's good. Because I remember when we were in the other section, we used to sit, so the student section used to be on the north sideline, right?
Oh yeah. Good old
day. Or not sideline, the north awning, right?
The 50 fucking yard line it used to be on.
I mean, so much better seats than they are now, right? Like, look, home field advantage is dead. Especially when there aren't almost even any fans now. But the north sideline was students for like three sections, and it would get pretty wild in there. I'm not even sure how much cheering for the game was happening. And then there was like a couple sections on each side that were like maybe GA and maybe student tickets. And we would just go directly to those every game. And that was the time. So your brother was wearing Wazoo clothes. He was like wearing a Wazoo t-shirt. And I swear to God, the ushers had like heat seeking, right? Like these were Terminators trying to find him.
I don't think it was that hard. I think it was pretty fucking easy to.
No, they would come out of nowhere and they would just be like, you're gone. Like they didn't ask what his seats were or anything. And they found him like two or three times sitting with us.
The thing about my brother is he's persistent and he does not give a shit about breaking your rules. So he will come back. If I had gotten caught one time, I would have left the stadium. I would have
gone to my car. Fetal position.
Yeah, I would have cried. But Michael comes back over and over again. He does not care.
Oh my God.
The same could be said about the Cougs, actually.
Not this year.
I mean, I like their team. I don't like their compliance with the guidelines, but I like.
They weren't persistent in trying to play the game.
They may be in the future. They were not. They are not able to do so this weekend.
I like their new quarterback.
We'll see when he plays a real defense.
I can't find this photo of the sad Husky fan.
What would you even Google for that?
I tried Seattle Times Husky fan scoreboard. Sad.
Try
Husky
Seattle
fan.
Times 0-12 season.
I'm not convinced it was that season.
Try Seattle Times so depressed. 0-12. Don't shake the fence.
Oh no. Oh boy. Well.
Anyway, it has been a really great tradition. Playing that game the day after Thanksgiving. And, you know, like, I mean, I keep talking at this and it's like, it's a bummer that the game is not going to be played this year in this farce of the NCAA football season. But, you know, the reality is there could have been no games and, you know, maybe there should be no games, but like losing this is considering everything that we're giving up for this year is just like,
whatever.
Yeah, this is one last thing, right? Like we can't spend Thanksgiving together. We can't spend Christmas Eve together. Can we care that much about the Apple Cup not happening? So yeah. It is unfortunate, but I feel like it is more than anything. It's a sign of the times that this game is not happening. And, you know, like we talk about, maybe it'll be replayed if neither team makes the Pac-12 championship. And personally, I feel like that would be a bad situation. Not because I don't think that football should be played, which I do, but also if you're going to play football, you might as well win, right? And, you know, the best case scenario is that the Huskies win the Pac-12 North and don't have a weekend available to play against the Cougars during the championship weekend.
I'd agree with that, yes.
I think it was 2007.
I also feel like playing the Cougars at some other time in, what, December? When would they be playing them? It's not the same. You don't get the same
But it would be the end of the season then. It would be the final game of the Pac-12.
I see that point, but it's still not.
Because
one of the things that happened before they moved the game to the weekend after Thanksgiving is that UW would often play, or at least a couple of years would play a game the weekend after the Apple Cup.
That freaking like Cal game, the Chris Polk run.
Yeah, I mean, the God's play touchdown against Chris Polk was an awesome play, but there was also they played at Cal the weekend after the Apple Cup, the 0-12 year, and that is probably the Husky game in my life I have paid the least attention to. I was playing pickup basketball at the Furtado Center. All right. Well, I think we have definitely remembered some Thanksgivings. We've remembered some Apple Cups. We have not been able to find this photo, but maybe we will someday.
Is this going to be a special edition?
It is, yes. So again, check back tomorrow for the regular weekly pod, which will be equally long, but more focused on the weekend sports.
Katie, are you going to be joining us for the weekly pod?
I think so.
Do you have enough wine?
I mean, I have a whole case of it, so.
There you go. On that note.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks.